This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And they're having a good day. I'm having a good day, too. It was called No Collusion, No Obstruction.
All right, the president reacting to the dropping of the Mueller report, 448 pages. It was released on Thursday. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, and that's what people are talking about in your backyard and mine, besides the fact that it is Easter, so there's lots of conversation about Easter. The Pope, in fact, on his Good Friday sermon to the masses, talked about sex trafficking as being one of the more abhorrent things happening in the world that needs to stop. But before we go there, let's talk about the Mueller report. Like I said, it is 448 pages long. It talks a lot about the Oval Office and the president and the people around the president, but in the end does not, even though there's evidence of all kinds of things, evidence of lying by public officials, but some of those have been charged for that. Some of the people that I'm talking about, like Cohen, Michael Cohen, the president's lawyer. But it shows all kinds of things. The White House, a little bit chaotic, sort of abnormal rules, if you will. But in the end, it's what the president said. No collusion, nothing with obstruction, and no charges. So criminality and the questioning of criminal conspiracy or criminal obstruction, judging the president, these are the questions that were part of supposedly what the investigation was going to provide. And what it does is it reports kind of a damning portrait of the president and the people around him and what happened, you know, in office, in the early days in office especially, but nothing legally, no criminal conspiracy on the part of Trump campaign associates in the Russian efforts, frankly, to sabotage the 2016 election. So the attorney general, as we all know, concluded, based on reading the report, there was insufficient evidence to charge the president with obstruction. So the president tweets and makes public statements like you just heard on Thursday, embracing the findings as full exoneration. Game over is what one of his tweets said. What is really crazy, and this is something that is more than troublesome, is do you want the Russians meddling in our elections? Hell no. And so what it does show is there's overwhelming evidence of how they tried to carry out their efforts to interfere with the election and what happened. There's details about that. Findings by the U.S. intelligence community of the Russians meddling into the election with the intent of helping Trump defeat Hillary Clinton. They didn't want her in. That's the deal. So that's what I think. It does show Russians were trying to be responsible, I think, for moving the election. It doesn't show that exactly and say that exactly, but that is one of the undercurrents there. That's it, period. But the biggest question about obstruction and all of that and no collusion, Mueller and his team came to no collusion. So it is game over, if that's what the Mueller report shows after 2 years of investigating the president. Now, Michael Flynn goes down. Obviously, Michael Cohen goes down. Paul Manafort, all of that we know and we've seen, and that's what was pursued there. Now what happens moving forward? The Democrats want a full report. They want their own inquiries. They want that to happen. So they've extended an invitation to Mueller. But I think most of us have reached our own conclusions about the president, pro and con. Honestly, we say this all the time. So what does the average American take away from the report? What they think reinforces what they believe. So the news here legally that is good news for the president, because he'll face the voters again in November of 2020. That's it. But he's not going down for anything with collusion with Russia or obstruction or any of that. So the Mueller report is more documentation. Is this a normal thing, an abnormal thing? Most people aren't laser focused or weren't laser focused on what was happening during the investigation because it was so bloody long. What we know with the 448 pages are the cast of characters, and what we know is the investigators were Robert Mueller, Jeff Sessions, the former Attorney General, now the current Attorney General, William Barr, and his conclusions. The people who were investigated, the President, Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, Paul Manafort, which we know what happened there, Rick Gates also goes down, Michael Flynn, George Papadopoulos also going down, Roger Stone, who briefly worked with the campaign during 2015, Michael Cohen, Trump's personal attorney from 2007 until last year. WikiLeaks comes up in the documentation a bunch, a name mentioned a ton. Guccifer 2.0, one of the persons used to distribute information stolen from the DNC during 2016. And the belief is that that persona was controlled by somebody tied to Russian intelligence that you would find there. Julian Assange, you'd find his name in there. Maria Butina, the college student and gun activist who last year admitted to working on behalf of the Russian government. Sam Clovis, a longtime political activist from Iowa who joined the Trump campaign in August 2015. Jerome Corsi, a conservative writer and conspiracy theorist who was associated with Roger Stone. That's what I did. I went through the names and looked at the names to see names we've been talking about, right? J.D. Gordon, a campaign advisor who worked with a foreign policy team. Carter Page, who served on Trump's foreign policy advisory team in March 2016. That's some of the names that you would see. And what happened as the investigation unfolded? What was settled? And what was settled is, I'll say it again, obstruction, no. Collusion, no. That was the determination. And what do we know? That there were 2,800 subpoenas, 500 witnesses, 500 search warrants, and that led to 200, that's a lot of numbers, individual criminal counts that were ultimately obtained against more than 30 people. Admissions of guilt by 6 people and outstanding indictments covering identity theft, money laundering, obstruction, witness tampering, lying to investigators, and conspiracy. But we bring it back down again to no collusion of the president with the president or obstruction. Bottom line. Coming up next, you had plenty to say about the Mueller report. We're diving into the mailbag.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo tea. Tahibo tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with a story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Yeah, we're in the mailbag right now, and here's where we go. We head to Richard first. He gets to kick it off. Mueller report, Kate, and the bottom line in this whole thing is there were some crooked nutballs that worked for the president or people who were flexing their muscle in the wrong direction, whatever you want to say. But when it comes to the president, he didn't cross the legal lines enough anyway that the Mueller report nailed him, or they would have charged him with obstruction of justice or collusion. That didn't happen. Do I think the Russians tried to jimmy-rig or screw with our elections? You bet. But the president cannot be held to that. So let everybody decide in 2020 who they want to serve, whether it's the current president, Donald Trump, or somebody new. It's going to be interesting to watch. It's a bloodbath out there. All right, this one from Dean. Dean says, the Mueller report shows that Robert Mueller was a weak idiot. If he really had anything on Donald Trump, then he would have come forward and he would have used it. But obviously he didn't, but he had to justify the money that he was being paid and all the dollars dumped in this direction. Do I think Vladimir Putin would love to control anything in the United States? Of course. Do I think the Russians are dirty as hell and that they try to infiltrate our systems? You bet. But the president could not be held for obstruction or collusion. So no matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you got to clear the guy on this one. Interesting. And that's it. It comes back to collusion and it comes back to obstruction of justice and the fact that that did not come out absolutely 100% true. And bottom line is the Attorney General Barr released his findings and now this whole thing has been released. And, you know, you look at these episodes of some of the actions and what it possibly looks like. The firing of Michael Flynn, his first national security advisor, the firing of the FBI director James Comey, the appointment of special counsel, the push to remove the special counsel, all that kind of stuff. You know, rumors, innuendo, that kind of thing. You could say that the president didn't like what was happening around him and obviously made a few things happen that legally he could do. And what he didn't do, his aides protected him from. I mean, that's for sure. But there was evidence was insufficient to conclude that the president had engaged in criminal obstruction because of other circumstances. The White House cooperated with the Mueller investigation. Remember that? They allowed White House officials to be interviewed by investigators. So that's the bottom line. I'll do one more. This one is from Jerry. Kate, I'm a lifelong Democrat, but frankly, if the Mueller report concludes there's no obstruction, there's no collusion, then you got to go with that. They had 2 years to nail the president if that's what they were trying to do, and it didn't happen, and I think it irritated the Dems, of which I am one. But if you can't go there, you don't get it. And 448 pages talk about all kinds of things, but never, ever saying there is obstruction or there is collusion, then you got to give the president a pass. Fair is fair. So in this one, I say Trump has to ride it to the tweetable bank all he can, and he is doing that. And here's something completely different. How about this one? This one is from Mac listening to us in Montana. Mac says, hey, Kate, I listen to you out here and I hear you talk about God. I liked your interview with the stand-in for the mountain. And here's what I would say. I loved the first episode. So this has been hyped to death. This is it. This is the finale of Game of Thrones. And I got to say, I'm loving it. What do you think? You know what I liked? I don't want to spoil anything because if people are watching Game of Thrones and they haven't watched the first episode, one of my favorite scenes was Jon Snow riding the dragons. Daenerys, how could you put him on a dragon? But I liked how he got on. He said, there's no place to hold on. So she basically, you know, she basically says to him, you don't have a place to hold on. You just go. And there were a couple of other moments I thought that were clever in this first one out of the shoot, because, you know, they're wrapping this whole thing up. So in wrapping the whole thing up, it gets kind of tricky, right? We all have these expectations, but I think that was a good moment. There was a funny Cersei moment. I just don't want to give it away. I already told you the one, and the one was the riding the dragons thing. I read a story about Leslie Jones, who is obsessed with, and she's on Saturday Night Live, obsessed with Game of Thrones, and she said she's nerdy about it, that she's just obsessed. Like she said, other people obsess over sports and cars and fashion and whatever, but I'm obsessing over Game of Thrones. And I completely understand. I didn't like it when it first came out, but then I started to watch it, and I got really, really hooked. I've talked about this before. I think it's the fact that you have sort of like this history, funky history thing mixed with fantasy, and I like that. So Daenerys and Jon Snow and the dragons and that relationship, to me, that's been an interesting thing to watch from last year and into this year. The idea they shoot fire and they freak out everybody when they fly over them. That's like one of my favorite parts. It just is. So we'll see what happens in the second Game of Thrones and where they take us on this journey. Because what's going to happen with the Seven Kingdoms. All right, this one is from Christina, who says, Kate, did you happen to hear the Pope's message on Good Friday services? Yes, and I mentioned it briefly. He talked about of course, at St. Peter's Basilica. He talked about the suffering of kids who are sold for their organs and African girls who are prosecuted on Rome's streets and all that kind of stuff. And he said, let us think of all the children bought and sold by human traffickers for organ harvesting, used and abused on our streets by many, including Christians, who have lost the sense of their own and others' sacredness. And I think that was a good place to direct part of the message. The countdown to Easter Sunday is on, though, and then that's 1.2 billion Catholics that he leads part of the countdown. And, you know, you got the Stations of the Cross and everything that leads up to that. And what is that message going to be and what's that going to sound like is always the chatter that you hear and you always see, no matter what, you'll see lots of video of the Pope on Sunday. And by the way, I hope you and yours have a fabulous Easter. You get to see family or friends or whatever it is. You get to eat some chocolate, go to church, do what you do on Easter. It's when people dress up really nice. People that aren't dressing up, the cash comes out. You know what I mean? In other words, the cash kind of, I should say the cash goes away and dressing up comes out. So people you don't always see dressed up, all of a sudden, boom, there they go. Hey, coming up next, a great conversation with a fireman who's written a book, who was a longtime fireman back in a hard time in the Bronx where he talked about fighting with his comrades 20 fires in some cases a night, which is just insane. Some sad stories about rescues gone awry, thoughts on 9/11. You don't want to miss Joe M. He's so good, and he is coming up next. After that, I had another interesting conversation with a guy who really can turn a poem. And he did this Living in God's Rhyme thing that I thought was so clever, and he did it from 72 postings on Facebook. And people are so intrigued by him. His publisher, who publishes his book, Letra Press, they sent him to, he's going to the book expo in New York City, May 29th and 31st, and he's going to be there on the 30th and the 31st. He's doing a book signing, etc. And, you know, at BookCon, which is kind of a continuation of Book Expo, it's huge. It's where everybody goes in the Big Apple. People come from all over the place. And Tim Carter is such a treat to have a conversation with him, and he even gives us one of his poems. It has to do with his daughter, but you'll hear that coming up as well. So hang with us.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks, so it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
I'm having a good day, too. It's called No Collusion, No Obstruction.
As more and more people get to read the release Mueller report, President Trump at the White House with this reaction.
But I say it in front of my friends, this should never happen to another president again. This hoax. This should never happen to another president again.
So where do we go from here? Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell weighs in.
I look forward to seeing what the Attorney General has to say. He's going to be before the Judiciary Committee on May the 1st. As he indicated, there are some members of Senate and House who will be shown unredacted portions of that. I will be among those eight people. It's pretty clear to me he's trying to be as open as possible.
And taking a look now at Wall Street, the Dow up almost 107 points to close at 26,559. The NASDAQ up almost 2 points, and the S&P 500 up 4.5 points. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995. Immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesce. The Luminesce anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Giampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Tim Carter joins us now, and he's written a book called Living in God's Rhyme. And this book is so fascinating because you know how I feel if you've listened to the show for any length of time about poetry. My father was a poet, and it really pleases me to bring him onto the show to talk about poetry and specifically this book. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks for having me on the show.
So the first question is the title of the book, Living in God's Rhyme. When you think of poetry and the different ways you can look at poetry and look at God's written word, was the idea to pull that all together?
Well, it's something that this is my third book with the word rhyme in it. And it's just been, I've loved writing poetry since I was in high school. And I see God in poetry. And when I think of him, everything I see is, I can write a poem about it. There is a poem in it. Other people see it differently, but that's how I see God's word, and that's a lot of times how he speaks to me is through this poetry.
So I'm wondering, the people around you must think this is a really unique way to meld the two, that obviously poetry is your gift, and then looking at the Word of God. So what do people around you say when they realize that you have this ability?
Well, I've got a number of favorable comments, and people seem to, they understand it. at least I understand that that's how I express my faith, and realize that, and so I realize that we all express our faith and we all receive it in different ways, but I've had nothing but positive response from people.
So when you look at the Bible and you try to, you look at Bible passages, what are your favorites and how have you worked the poetry into them?
Well, my favorites are the ones I just read. this book I wrote, I wrote it for Facebook, and I posted every day. I wrote a poem, and I wrote 72 poems in 77 days for the book.
Wow.
And what I found was, is that I would start reading, and after a couple verses or a couple lines even, I would stop, and there was something there that God was telling me that I should write about. And that was just a blessing for me, and a tremendous amount of growth happened at that time.
I bet. I bet because you're posting every day, and then you're feeling that, and then you're coming back around with the poetry.
Yes, and a former marketing consultant had said that I needed to be on social media, and I was already on Facebook, so I started another Facebook page called God Still Rhymes, and that's where I posted everything, and people could see me write the book, which was, for me, exciting, too.
Boy, no kidding. What was the reaction to that? Because they were seeing you as it was unfolding.
Well, it was good. I got a lot of people like it. I got a lot of favorable comments, and I was blessed when people would tell me that it was something that touched them. It was something that they needed at that time, and that makes everything worthwhile when you hear something like that.
Boy, no kidding. And I want to remind everybody that Tim Carter's book, Living in God's Rhyme, you can pick it up on Amazon.com. I would be remiss if I didn't have you do this. Would you recite a poem for us?
Yes, I would. I've got one that I wrote for a dear, someone that's very dear to me, who had gone through a struggle, and it's called One Day in the World. She has been hurt, left in the dirt. No longer standing on her feet, she lays crying in her defeat. Through tear-filled eyes, she looks up at the sky and asks the question, why? Sometimes the winner is a lie. Oh, she did often try to look beyond the lie, but it was always there, every day, everywhere. Was it a test of her faith as tears poured like rain? Could she feel God's embrace as he relieved her of pain? Her prayers, the prayers of others, but lie after lie, God was smothering. Now looking forward, not in a hurry, believing what Jesus said, do not worry. Her future is in God's hands, believing she now understands that without his presence, the world would make no sense. She will no longer struggle as the world would demand. She will wait and pray, and with God will stand. She will turn to God, trust in his word, in his plan for her, his plan the world has not heard.
Wow. Wow, that's beautiful. And writing that about a struggle for a friend, obviously you must have given that to her, and I can only imagine how she reacted to that. I'm a little choked up.
Yeah, it was actually one of my daughters.
Oh.
And it meant everything to her. And it was something we both, and I find that a lot of times it's something that the person I write for and I both need. Because as she was struggling, my wife and I were also struggling with her in that situation. So it was good for all of us.
Wow. So poetry really has helped your life. And we want to talk about your family because you've been married 44 years. Is that right? And how many kids and grandkids do you have?
Well, it's now 46.
Woo.
And yeah, and we have 5 children and 5 grandchildren. And grandchildren age are running ages from like about a year and a half to 23 years old, and they are a special blessing, especially yes.
Boy, no kidding, and I bet you they enjoy, because I'm sure with your poetry it spills into so many different areas. And I want to remind everyone again, the book is called Living in God's Rhyme. You could pick it up on Amazon.com, and also you have TimCarterBooks.com. So when you do this. And I want to go back to melding that with the 72 posts in 77 days. So when you take a book like the Bible and it's and you know how it's so huge and massive to pick out passages, did you feel like that just flowed easy for you, or how did you, you know, decide Revelation, the Gospel of John, or anything else, Corinthians, etc.? How did you do that?
Well, I would just ask the Lord for guidance on where I should be reading. Or maybe it was something that I had said, okay, I'm going to read this book all the way through. And as I went through it, things came to mind, and it would reference another book in the Bible. And there was one that some text in one of the Old Testament books reminded me of something that I had seen in Revelation. And so I went there. And it was just, I found that, you know, if I tell God to, if I let him lead me, then that I can go where he goes. And I also found that when I write, this happened about 6 years ago when I started doing this for a poem, I would just pray and ask God to give me the words to lead me. And it always went somewhere I never thought it was going to go. And that's been the true blessing in this whole thing.
And you started writing when you were a teenager. So like I said, that is definitely a gift. But you think of writing when you're a teenager, starting there and ending up to where you are now. Did you ever think that would happen, that you'd have these books that would pour out of you?
No, I never did. You know, as a teenager, I was the kid with a broken heart or something like that. And I always thought, well, maybe I can grow up and write like John Lennon does, and I'm glad I don't. But no, I never thought that. Early on, I had submitted a short manuscript for publishing. It was called The Jesus Bones, but family was just starting, and I didn't have the money at the time. Upon reflection, I realized that this period of time, and it's been 40 years in the waiting, that God was waiting for me to be ready. And a lot of what I read lately is waiting on God, because he knows the time. And I wasn't ready until just in the last few years, really, to do this and put it out for people to read.
Yeah. Here's what I love. You talked about your family, how long you've been married, the grandchildren, starting when you were a teenager. And then you say, oh, but I also have a day job. What's your day job?
I work for a sewer and road building contractor in their estimating department, and I don't do any estimating, but I help the estimators, and I've been in that and the engineering side of the business since I got out of college, but it's part-time, and my wife a few years ago, when my boss asked me, how long are you going to work before you retire, and I said, oh, another year, and I told my wife, she said, oh, no, you got four more years, so I'm down to about a year and a half that I have to work yet.
Oh, I love it. I so funny. So the book is Living in God's Rhyme. You can certainly go to timcarterbooks.com or amazon.com. What do you hope that the readers take away from this?
My hope in people reading the book is that I'm just an average guy. I'm just... that they can see them, some of them see themselves in this, that, okay, I know I'm not perfect, and I'm not the guy who's written that book on self-help and tell me what I need to do and who is at that point in his life. I'm still growing in my faith. I still struggle. I have my faults, but God helps me overcome them. And I just hope that those who are in that position see that they're not the only ones and realize that there is hope. And things can work out, or that if someone who really doesn't pick it up and really doesn't know God will read it and say, there's something here. You know, there's something about this guy and what's happened with him that I want to look into. And that's my hope.
Yeah, what a great way to end this. Tim, thank you so much. Really enjoyed our conversation. And again, Living in God's Rhyme, you can get it, I've said it now several times, Amazon.com. Thanks, Tim.
It's time.
time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222. Or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Marcolino, and he's written a book that's called The Forgotten War, Fire and Death. Joe and I had a chance to catch up before he joined us on the air, and oh my gosh, his story is so fascinating. We could probably talk for hours, but we don't have that much time, so we want to jump into the meat of this. So Joe, tell us about The Forgotten War, Fire and Death. It's about the Bronx, isn't it?
It was in South Bronx. They were trying to burn it down, and there was a change in clientele, and the welfare moved in. And we got a lot of fires. And also, there was a master plan to burn the South Bronx down.
Wow, a master plan to burn the South Bronx down. For people listening to us, and plenty of people on the East Coast or people who have family from the Bronx and remember those times. And I should say, you were a fireman, so you were there on the front lines, right?
That's right. That's right. For 10 years.
Wow, 10 years. And what did your comrades say? What did the rest of the guys say about what was happening around you?
Well, in the beginning, we were all young and full of pep and vinegar, and we accepted it. We loved fire. But then it got really out of hand. We were getting 2 and 3 good fires a night. It was really bad.
Wow. And putting out those fires, how strenuous was that? I mean, it must have stressed you out
yes.
Because you were stretched thin, right?
Right, right. We, like I said, we got 2 or 3 good fires a night, and they sometimes took an hour or two to put out each one.
You said there was a master plan to burn the South Bronx down. Why was that? Because of how awful it had gotten?
No, there was no real estate left, and they wanted to, like, build the Bronx up. And there was nothing but tenements down there. And they were getting rid of the tenements.
Wow. And so, sure, it was odd that you kept having all of these fires, et cetera. And if you go back to that time, you know, the equipment was different. The amount of manpower was different. What was a typical crew like to put out all these fires, like the title of your book said, The Forgotten War, Fire and Death? What would a typical day or night be like fighting those fires?
Well, we were going out sometimes 20 times a night on calls. And alongside of that, we were fighting two good fires a night. So it was hell. Believe me, it was hell.
Wow. And you tell me a story that I think is, people don't realize, I think, what it's like to be a fireman, where you're not only at the front lines of the fire, your own life could be taken, but that sometimes people, you save them and it's an amazing thing, and sometimes there's nothing you can do and they expire in your arms, right? You told me a story about that. You had a woman that you tried to rescue and she just expired right there in your arms, right?
Yes, I took her out of a plane crash and they gave it to me and her eye was out of a socket. It was on her cheek and she was in my arms, and I was taking it to the ambulance, and I could feel the blood just rolling in her chest, and she died in my arms. She drowned in her own blood.
Wow. When you're in that kind of situation, how do you deal with that mentally? That's got to be taxing.
Well, when I first started the fire department, all I thought of was fighting fires, but there was so much death I almost quit. But you just had to put your mind to a certain state and get tough, otherwise you wouldn't have made it. You couldn't make it. It was too much death.
Wow. Wow. And the ages, the average ages of the guys that were on the front lines with you, Joe, how old were they?
Well, when we started, we were in the 20s, and they lasted till maybe 40 years old, and a lot of them died before their time. We was taking in so much toxic fumes.
Wow.
And
wow,
hundreds of them were injured, hundreds. The fires, this was going on between the mid-60s and the late 70s. So hundreds of firemen were hurt.
Wow. And the name of the book is The Forgotten War, Fire and Death. Make sure that you pick it up at Amazon.com. What do you really hope people take away from reading your book, Joe?
I want them to know, well, a lot of them, the relatives don't even know what their relatives went through, like their husbands and et cetera, et cetera. And I want them to see what was really going on and what these poor people, these firefighters were going through. And also tens of thousands of people relocated. So it was hard on them also.
Right. So because of everything that was happening, people that didn't want to move or couldn't really have the means to move were forced to do that, is what you're saying, right?
Right. The Red Cross relocated a lot of people, yes.
Wow. And now when you think of your legacy and being a fireman and everything that happened there, and you see where the Bronx is now, what would you say?
I just say I would want the boys, the men, to be very, very careful because they used to put booby traps out just to kill us.
Oh.
So they cut holes in the floor when you open the door. And if you didn't, but weren't careful, they cover it with linoleum so you couldn't see what was happening. You'd walk in and you go down two flights. So you always don't fools rush in, so take your time.
Fools rush in. When you had your training, so that brings that up for people listening, and I can just imagine they're trying to envision this. And as you said, booby traps and other things that you had to be aware of. When you encountered new things, I would imagine you just shared that with each other. But did you get any kind of training like that when you were in school, in fire school?
No, ma'am. We were trained to fight fires. Our main thing was lives and property. The first thing we do was go for rescue. But we would, at that time, there was nothing like that. They were cutting fire escapes. That if we grabbed onto a fire escape, we'd go down about five stories.
Ooh.
It was, they couldn't have trained you for that. There was no way. But then as time went on, you know, the word of mouth to the firemen, we were very, very cautious.
Yeah, thank goodness. And that's that camaraderie.
Right.
So we talked about the sad story of the woman who died as you were trying to get her to the ambulance. But tell us a rescue story, a good story that made you feel good at that you were able to save someone, help someone.
Oh, well, I broke down the door and there was an elderly lady laying on a couch and she was an invalid and she must have fell asleep with a cigarette. And I no sooner picked her up and it turned the couch towards stuff. Otherwise, she would have burned right in front of me.
Wow. Wow. And the toll that this has taken on your life physically, what happens to you after you've done this kind of work?
Well, I got buried alive even when I first started. And right now I'm a quadriplegic. I can't move. I just can't move.
Wow. Yep. Wow, Joe. All that dedication and fighting in a really rough, rough time. And the book, again, is The Forgotten War, Fire and Death. And you told me, you left me a message about you're raising money. Tell us about that.
Yes, I would like to, if any chance, like Hollywood or somebody would pick it up, I would donate $250,000 if I could, and I'd give it to St. Jude's and the city for those little babies that are dying of cancer.
Yeah, so sad. What do you think, and when you look at this, what do you think of, because I was in New York when 9/11 happened, and obviously
right.
You were there too. What did, and you saw the loss of the firemen there, what did that feel like to you? I thought that was just awful.
Oh, it takes a heart. See, at that time, I was going through post-traumatic stress, and it really, really helped. It killed me. It ripped the heart out of me. When the planes hit the building, I knew exactly how many boys died. I mean, not that they did it. But I said to myself, over 200 boys died there. It's a fireman going up the staircase with no, they shut the electricity, but they were going up, and I could see the face on in the fireman. That, you know, just the idea that they were going to have to climb 70 flights of stairs to get upstairs, you know. And they were worn out before they even started. And to see all those men die and people jumping out of windows 70 stories high, my God, because you have no chance because the heat was so great. It was like 2,000 degrees. The skin was melting on your body. It was bad. It was bad. It was no good.
Yeah, people didn't realize. I mean, they could just see it from afar, the horror of that day. But I really felt for the fire crew, too, and having so many volunteer firemen in my family's life, in my life.
I really have a lot of respect for volunteer firemen because they go out. They're not good. Well, nowadays they get some kind of money up for medical. But when I was young, they didn't get anything. If they got hurt, it was theirs. And another thing is they go out and they'd fight a fire during the night, and then during the morning they'd go to their regular job. And I really, really have great respect for volunteer firemen.
Boy, no kidding. Well, we have great respect for you, Joe, for everything that you've sacrificed, and I'm glad you're shining a light on this. Pick up his book, The Forgotten War, Fire and Death, at Amazon.com.
There's also, there's also on YouTube, I got a trailer, and it shows you what was going on. It's The Forgotten War, Fire and Death, and then the trailer comes on. Or you could just put Joseph F. Maraglino. It's a trailer. It shows you what was happening.
What happened, yeah.
Right.
Yep. Thank you, Joe. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And be safe, please.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with the story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.